Good morning again, my friends. This is David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, and yes, you are listening to Pebbles of Truth on WJCB Radio. Now, more this week on the road to fellowship, as we continue looking at the two disciples walking with Jesus on the road to Emmaus, which was only 160 furlongs, or about 20 miles west of Jerusalem. Okay, so let us open up our spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us today. You know, before we are devastated, and boy, that was a great teaching last week, as we said, our lives seems to get over into a perplexity that often leaves us confused and bewildered. It is in this perplexity that keeps us from realizing that we are headed down the tubes and off track. This was the case with the two disciples on their way to Emmaus. They were walking in terrible perplexity. They had no answers, and trying to talk it through was not getting them anywhere. When Christians and some believers I know reach a spiritual impasse, they probe and they search to find answers. At this time, we must be very careful. You know, if we are looking for answers, we will find answers. Let me say that again. If we are looking for answers, we will find some answers. Now, they may not be the correct answers or even the best answers, but nevertheless, they will be answers. That we must take heed not to find just any answers, but we must find the answers the Lord wants us to find. This is the message Jesus was teaching the disciples in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 9. Now, please pay close attention here. Jesus was not teaching the disciples to keep asking the Father for something again and again and again. Oh, no. As earthly parents, if our children keep asking us again and again and again for something, instead of asking us once, okay, maybe twice, then leaving it in our capable hands, well, what would your reaction be? That's right. Get away, child. You're nagging me. Well, here in Matthew 7, Jesus says, ask and it shall be given you. Now, it does not say keep asking till the Father gets fed up or whatever, but ask once. Ask once. Make your need known and leave it with the Father. After all, He knows what we need before we even ask, right? It is not that God needs to know what we want, because He already knows. Oh no, it is we have a need in us to tell Him what we need. And after we satisfy that need, because He is the one and the only one who can meet all of our needs, we need to leave our asking and wanting in the capable hands of the Lord. Now, notice verse 8. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. If we ask, we will get something. And he that seeketh, findeth. If we seek, we will find something. That is the goal of seeking, of finding. And to him that knocketh, it shall open. So if you knock here and there and keep on knocking, then as the prosperity teachers and preachers tell you to do, a door will open. Again, the goal of knocking is a door will open. Now, it may be the right door, but probably not. But nevertheless, a door will open. Jesus was, repeat, not telling us or even the disciples to keep asking, seeking, or knocking here in Matthew 7. No, He was telling the disciples to be careful, to take heed to their asking, take heed to their seeking and their knocking. Verse 9 kind of clarifies that. Verse 9 tells us, or what man is there of you who has a son that asks for bread, will give him a stone? Our Heavenly Father, he hears His children ask. He knows that they have the need for daily bread, and He loves them so. You know, our Heavenly Father is not going to give us a stone if we ask for bread. But guess what? Guess what now? In all of our perplexing, most often, and to our frustration, God is silent. But He has a reason. You and I do not need to see answers to our asking and our seeking and our knocking. Let me say that again. We do not need to see answers to all of our asking and our seeking and knocking. Oh, no. What we need to see is Jesus. We need to see Jesus. After all, he has the answers. The disciples, like us at times, were going to have their eyes of understanding open. But initially, as the passage states, these eyes were closed. It is not that a great picture of ignorance, but is that not a great picture of the ignorance of many churches today? You know, ignorance is blindness. Let me say that again. Ignorance is blindness. It is a great picture of a slowness of heart and a slowness to put aside our faulty understanding and to believe regardless. These disciples in Luke 24:13-34, on their way to Emmaus, were not in a state of hardened heart. Oh no. Now, they could have ended up that way, but for now, according to the scriptures, this was not the case. There are folks who profess their faith in Christ until their personal demands from Christ are shattered. They cannot accept that God would allow them to believe an error or travel a wrong path. But he does. And why? Well, for redemptive purposes. He wants to expose us for the purpose of bringing us into the truth. What? God, you know, would let us walk in an error so that we can come to know the truth? Why, yes. Do you come to the truth from the truth? No. We all come the same way. We come to know the truth, Jesus Christ, the light of the world, from darkness, not from the light. We all were lost in sin, as Paul told the church at Corinth. And such were some of you, but ye are washed. Now that word washed there is that same thought that's in John 15:3, washed by the, you know, the word clean by the washing of the word. But ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 6:11. You know, it is amazing how easy we blame God for allowing us to believe error when we ought to be thanking him for delivering us out of it into the truth. We have to come to terms with the fact that if we believe error, it is because there is error in us. Maybe unbelief or pride or whatever. A man cannot give what he does not have. Let me say that again. A man cannot give what he does not have. He only has what is inside his heart. So if a man has no love and forgiveness and no long suffering, no peace, no joy, then he cannot give that love, peace, joy, long suffering, forgiveness away. This is a divine spiritual principle that God has established. So we believe error because error is in us. Now, do not expect one not walking with the Lord to encourage you in the faith. And why? Well, they have no life of God to encourage anyone with. Yet, we know Christians whose best friends for life are non-Christians. And now, I'm not saying to depart from this guy's life or whatever, but I would say to take heed to yourself that those folks may not be holding you back in God. Unless you are influencing someone towards God, then you are being influenced and being held back. Remember, there's no neutral in God. You know, there are reasons why we believe what we do. These disciples believed error because they have been raised in a culture of spiritual error. It was all around them. They wanted a Messiah that was, you know, was according to what they, you know, what they had been taught. But now their Messiah was dead, and so were their hopes and their dreams and their plans. So here they are, wandering the road to Emmaus, like many folks in the denominational churches of today. Amen. More next week on the road to fellowship. This has been David Saul from Beholding His Glory, hoping that your day and your week to come will be transforming in your life, that you will allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart, and the truths of the Word of God will open up your mind and open up your spirit, and you will be conformed the more into the character and the nature of God's dear Son, Jesus Christ. God bless, and we will talk to you next week. Amen.